We have a very special interview this morning with Tom Castle. He is a sailor, a captain. I believe he's also a musician and among other things. Thank you so much for being with us this morning, Tom.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Are you sitting out on the breakwall right now in Two Harbors?
No, actually, I'm driving to Two Harbors right now with with Alice Wilson, otherwise known as Ginger Whimsy, our living statue.
Okay.
So if you get to the festival and you see a statue of a, well, actually, I won't tell you, but if you see a statue and it suddenly moves, you just met Alice.
Okay, wonderful. So, Tom, I think you have, it's safe to say you have a job and a lifestyle that is both fascinating, mysterious, and mystifying to a lot of people. Do you want to just share with us how you got interested in the tall ships? And, you know, what has been your path to where you are today as far as being out on the big waters?
Well, I think it goes back to singing in Irish pubs in Chicago and all around, pretty much all around the eastern part of the United States and a little bit in England, in Ireland and Scotland. And my old partner and I thought, you know, there's all these seagoing songs that are from England and Ireland and France, and I wonder if there are Great Lakes maritime songs as well. And we met a history professor who turned us on to a collection of music at the University of Michigan and went on from there. And then exactly at the same time, I started sailing on tall ships in Chicago, originally a Chesapeake Bay oyster boat called Charlotte Ann. She was an 85-foot schooner built in 1888. So we basically wrote ourselves job descriptions, and it was, we want to sing and sail for a living, and that's what I've been doing for the last few decades.
Wow. And what ship are you on right now?
I'm one of the relief captains on the schooner Dennis Sullivan out of Milwaukee, but she's not sailing this summer. So I'm basically captaining the minivan from festival to festival.
I see. And I see that, when I looked at the music schedule, I could see that you're on there. Are you going to be playing, I was just actually mentioning on the radio earlier this morning that the, when you look under music, under sea ballads or anything to do with the ocean, sailing, storms, I mean, there is so much music out there from every genre, every culture. There's something about water that just, you know, brings people to music. And clearly you found that connection. Do you have a specialty, like you say Irish music, is that your specialty? And, you know, what do you find the most exciting thing about music and water?
I would say the nature of the music. I think maritime music is the first world music because you had to get from one continent to another by ship until very recently.
Right.
So the music really comes from all over the place. And I started out in Celtic music and doing a lot of stuff from the Great Lakes. But now I'm trying to collect some Spanish music from the guys on Now Trinidad and a couple of the crew, and the mate from the Angel from the ship is a fantastic guitarist, and we've been exploring a little bit of some of the Spanish music. Also have a good interest in South Pacific music, and it's all maritime.
There are,
you know, maritime cultures all around the world, and the Great Lakes is part of that. And people sometimes forget that, you know, you could leave Duluth or Two Harbors and sail anywhere in the world. It's a gateway to anywhere.
It is, absolutely. We've been out the Erie Canal twice to prove it, although we've never been out the St. Lawrence Seaway, which I think is in some ways the more, well, it's the longer route, and it's the one where you end up farther north. And tell us where some of your sailing has taken you physically as far as the ships.
Mostly Great Lakes, because that's my license. I have a Coast Guard license for the Great Lakes and inland waters.
Okay.
So I have sailed a little bit out of, let's see, the Chesapeake and Key West, and a tiny bit in California, and also in New Zealand, just around Auckland Harbor. But the strange thing about that is if you travel to the other side of the earth and go to Auckland, New Zealand, and you go to their National Maritime Museum and you go to their replica tall ship, you will find that you're aboard a boat called the Ted Ashby, and she is a Great Lakes scow. So it's a design that came from basically Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, and Lake Huron that ended up in New Zealand, and they were still using them up to the 1930s in World War II.
Fascinating. And fun to be able to actually be in different parts of the world to see those connections there and see the extent of the influence of the Great Lakes, which of course we love to hear here on Lake Superior, because we know that Lake Superior is nothing to be messed with.
Oh, no.
Yes. So is there anything in particular that you would like to share with people from Two Harbors about? You know, we've never experienced or hosted a Festival of Sail before, obviously. We've had one day so far, and it was a very, you know, picture-perfect day, other than maybe there could have been a little more wind for the ships to actually sail during their parade. But
you never know about a parade of sail. Sometimes there's no wind. Sometimes there's way too much wind.
Right.
And you're trying to. I've seen some of the ships actually with an engines in reverse to keep them in line. So it wasn't bad at all. It's a beautiful harbor, of course, and it's to watch these ships sail into a harbor like that is just kind of magic.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And then the other thing I wanted to mention, to have a little bit more convenient experience, you definitely go to www.festofsail.com, F-E-S-T of sail, all one word,
yeah.
S-A-I-L, and definitely check that out for tickets and for parking information and things like that too. And then of course the earlier you get down the better.
Yeah.
And for me, you know, going to see the ships is something that I just wouldn't pass up. And if you can get on board, definitely try to get on board. Some ships have some different schedules that are, some are sailing and some aren't. So definitely come down and see as many as you can, because they all have great stories.
Yes.
There's two, you know, the Pride of Baltimore and also the Brig Niagara are replicas of ships that are from the War of 1812.
Yes.
And if we had not won that one battle on Lake Erie, we'd be in Canada right now.
Yeah.
And about 5% of Niagara is still from the original ship from the War of 1812.
Oh, I didn't know that. That is interesting.
Yeah.
Meaning the actual materials, same materials.
Yeah. It's non-structural, but it is definitely there.
Hmm.
And when you sail on board Niagara, you're still sleeping in a hammock. And, well, basically, if you watch Master and Commander, the movie,
yes,
that's what it's like sailing on the Niagara without the gunfire. Well, without the damaging gunfire, anyway.
Yes.
But it's definitely good. And now Trinidad just sailed here all the way from Spain to come to the Great Lakes.
I know.
And I've also sailed a lot with Inland Seas, doing environmental education and sail training on the Great Lakes for years. And then there's a couple ships I don't know at all, so I'm looking forward to getting down there. But I've been performing with the Foxfire Affair. Daniel and Claire are a wonderful couple. And Dale Fowler, who's a nautical songwriter. We're swapping sets. And then tomorrow and Sunday, we're also being joined by Bounding Maine, who are good friends from the Great Lakes, and who are a five-piece a cappella group.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And also Bill and Kate Isles and a whole bunch of other folks that I've seen at past festivals in Duluth. There's Chaz the Magician, and you know, wandering minstrels and all kinds of things. It's going to be really, really good. The crafters are fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's just a great experience. So definitely come out early. Think about coming multiple days. There's no reason to be in a hurry.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then, you know, definitely go to www.festofsail.com, and you'll see some of the other festivals that we've been doing and are about to do in different cities like Sandusky and Marquette and Alpena, Michigan. And now it's great to be back in Lake Superior. It's awesome here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, up to this point, the local residents have been mostly occupied and concerned with issues like traffic and parking and how to survive the onslaught. And now that it's here, it seems like it's all very manageable. And I hope people do just take the time to go down there. And I mean, it sounds like the music is happening throughout the festival and also in different places. I don't know how much you know about logistics, but I think, is that right?
Yeah, because of the nature of the harbor, and you have to keep the ships where they'll be safe, even if you get a different, you know, wind direction and you have a surge
right.
in the harbor. So it's definitely spread out. So okay. it's definitely a hike, but it's a beautiful hike. I mean, you're along the lake over there, and it's just, you know, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, well, and I've been asking ever since the beginning, you know, what if we get a huge southwest wind? It's pretty open to the southwest, but I think we're going to be lucky. It seems like the winds are going to be easterly mostly, and we had actually a big, pretty heavy southwest, west, northwest blow 2 days ago, and I'm glad that that's not happening while the festival's happening. But I tell you what, it was a great day for sailing. We were actually sailing along the North Shore that day, and I don't know.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah, and do you have any truly exciting sailing stories from the Great Lakes when you were captaining any boats, or has it been pretty straightforward, smooth sailing? I'm sure you go out with caution on a big boat like that.
Usually you do, because you're not going out. It's not like you're in a, you know, like you're a racing sailor or something. You have to go out with all your passengers in mind.
Right.
So that could be somebody who's older and maybe a little infirm, or it could be very young children, or, you know, it just depends. So you have to kind of cater the amount of sail and the amount of, you know, risk you want to take by who's on board. And that changes. If you have a private charter of racing sailors, it's going to be a different experience than if you have a fourth grade class.
Right.
So, yeah, but, you know, but it's still that same feeling when you get out there is something that's amazing. I know on Inland Seas and a couple other boats I've captained, especially with students, the one thing you do is we would have like an entire minute of silence. And particularly city kids are really surprised at what that sounds like.
Mm.
Because once you're out there, there's no... Turn off the engine, and you know, you have the sails up, and there's no sound except the lake and the wind and the creaking of the rigging. It's really one of the most beautiful experiences ever.
It is mesmerizing.
Yeah, it never gets old. Never gets old.
It's absolutely mesmerizing, and can go on for hours and hours. Totally.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing I forgot. Of course, the other guest is the world's largest inflatable duck.
Yeah.
And. The duck and I have done gigs all over the country, from Cleveland, Ohio, all the way out to Los Angeles. And it is just a wonderful time every time we get together. And kids love the duck, and I think every adult does too, because they kind of let themselves go.
Yeah.
It's really, I would say the only hard thing about the duck is you need about a 30-foot selfie stick to get a good photo.
So right.
You're going to be close. But otherwise, it's really neat. And when I went out to see the ships yesterday, and you're looking back towards shore, and you see the duck kind of nestled in the trees, it looks like a science fiction movie. It's really...
Yeah, I know. Well, and I was expecting the duck out in the harbor. And so when we were sailing from the north down, we actually saw the duck through, you know, on the inside of the peninsula on the other side through the land. And it was really confounding until we figured out where that duck was. But it is a big duck, I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. No, she's based on land for this one. And it's really, really cool. One of the nice things, this is the stage I'm usually on is right by the duck, so I get to watch the reaction of the people encountering the duck for the first time, because we're talking large here. Definitely
yeah.
Large.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Tom. It's been really fun to chat, and it'd be fun to see you out there making music in one way or another. Hopefully lots and lots of people will get to walk by the ships, and some more will get to tour them, and still more, a few more will get to actually go out on them. I think that's just the neatest thing. And I will add that you probably know this, but this year the water of Lake Superior has gone back down to its sort of long-term average. It's in the 40s right now, or 50s, but it's chilly out there, you know, almost regardless. And I'm just hoping people brought some sweaters and maybe a hat.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Whenever we would do like student sails on some of the boats, we would say basically dress as if it's 15 degrees cooler on land.
Yeah. Always hard to convince people, yeah. But it is so true.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah. And again, don't forget www.thestasail.com for tickets and parking information. And yep. I can't wait to get there. It's going to be great.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tom. And we'll see you down there.
Thanks, Katya. Take care.
You bet. Bye-bye. That was Tom Castle. He is a captain and musician who will be at the Tall Ships Festival in Two Harbors